Good afternoon. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels, President of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and Distinguished Lecturer Emeritus from York College, City University of New York. Welcoming you to this January 10th, still in the COVID pandemic era of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's on the Pacifica Network, in collaboration with ycradio.org. That is correct. We are connected with the York College Community Radio online radio station. Well, today, after we had a very vigorous and productive conversation last week, I thought we would do a remix, a revisit, a do it again, if you will. So today, we will have an open line, open forum. We'll have some specific topics we want to discuss. I'll talk about them in a minute. But you can line up to call in. 212-209-2877 is the number to call when we get ready to roll. 212-209-2877. But first, I do just want to say our hearts go out to all of those who lost their lives, the families, the community, the trauma of this fire in the Bronx, in this apartment building, where 19 at least have died. Others more likely are going to die, unfortunately, tragically, and many who are in the hospital in dire condition. Our hearts go out to them. I understand the building was largely inhabited with the renters. Many of them were immigrants from West Africa. Some of them perhaps undocumented. I worry about these buildings. I worry about the decrepit nature of some of these apartment buildings. I don't know if this was a public building or not, perhaps not. But they mentioned that the fire alarm would go off fairly frequently, and so therefore it was like, you know, people just, you know, they kind of ignored it because it's always going off and whatever. But it is so tragic. And so we do hope, as the new mayor has indicated, that he will, Eric Adams, will step up to the plate and do everything possible to help these families and the community to recover. There is no recovery in some ways, but to do the best to reestablish some normalcy. The other thing I need to just mention is Deltacron. We have Delta, the Delta variant, and now we have and the Omicron, one that is tearing out across the country. Well, kind of be worried now, because if these two combine, and apparently they have, based on a variant that has been discovered in Turkey. So if Delta is the more vicious one and Omicron is the more transmissible one, if they connect up, what does that say? It sounds like bad news. Anyway, just asking people to mask up as a minimum. At a minimum. I know there's a lot of controversy about who to vax, not to vax, but can you just mask up with an NP95, the most sophisticated, double up, double down on it. Mask up at a minimum is my request, so we can take care of each other. We can take care of each other, particularly our elderly and our children. Let's be concerned about each other. And a mask at a minimum, it seems to me, would help do that. Next up, I just want to lay out some tributes and have you call in if you'd like. Three tributes I'd like to share. One, of course, we lost a suave, debonair, very eloquent, powerful, persuasive black man named Sidney Poitier. Oh, he was a bad brother. And we lost him. Came along in an era of up south de facto segregation, all up in the motion picture industry. And yet he cracked through to become the first black man to receive an Oscar, Academy Award, for a leading role. male leading role in a film. But more than that, which is what I really appreciate. He didn't rest on the celebrity. I know there were some others who kind of got involved in the civil rights movement a little bit, but they were hesitant. They were equivocating. Not Sidney Poitier. He was on it. Most likely influenced by Harry Belafonte, because Harry Belafonte pulled together, you know, lots of people to come and work with Dr. Martin Luther King and get involved in the Southern struggle. I got to believe that Sidney Poitier was one of them. They hung out. Many, many films that you could look at. Buck and the Preacher was probably not one of the greatest of them, but I remember they did. Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier were in that film together. Who went before him, who were willing to do likewise and to suffer the consequences, and there were others who did suffer the consequences, most notably Paul Robeson. So tribute to Sidney Poitier. And if you want to call in and just give a tribute, you can, or talk about your favorite movie, a recollection of Sidney Poitier, please do so. Also, hey, y'all all know about Juicy Fruit, right? That's right, you all know Juicy Fruit. In fact, it was Harry Belafonte said, if we can get them to sing our song, if you can get them to sing your song, you have arrived with power and influence. So with Harry Belafonte, it was the Banana Boat song. Deo, deo, it's a deo. Harry Belafonte. Even today, people will hot in stadiums and you'll hear that deo ring out. Harry Belafonte arrived with power on the scene. And so it was with the legendary, iconic James Entume. Juicy Fruit. Everybody knows about Juicy Fruit because James Entume made Juicy Fruit. Hey, the whole world knew about, and they weren't talking about chewing no chewing gum either. Juicy Fruit. And of course, the notorious, or Biggie Smalls, the notorious B.I.G. blew it up even, I mean, big time. A lot of hip hop artists sampled it. But in the same, and you know, again, multi-talented, genius. I mean, a bad brother. Work with, you know, McCoy Tyner, and, you know, work with Miles Davis, Stephanie Mills, you know, Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway. He just worked with so many artists. He was brilliant. Many, many, a great songwriter as well. But he, too, was an activist. And an organizer. And by the way, you know, many of you knew him in the local area because he was a fixture, the third answer on which was then Kiss FM, now 105 FM WBLS on Open Line, you know, with Pickett Slade, produced by the master producer Fatim Muhammad. And so, yes, he became involved with the Congress of African People, with the Imam Emiri Baraka, and he was an activist, organizer, constantly working with young people, trying to encourage them to become engaged as well, a mentor. And so we salute also the Juicy Fruit Man. That's right. Brother James Entume is one of our newest, youngest ancestors. Gone on to the ancestor realm, but as long as Juicy Fruit lives, so lives James Entume and much more. Finally, I want to bring to your attention someone that many of you may not have known. There are some who do know him. Younger people, no doubt, would never have heard of him. But I have to say his name because not only the most famous, it is those who commit their lives to the struggle. Such was the case of Dr. Waldemar Stewart, who was a former state senator from Brooklyn, if I recall correctly, from Shirley Chisholm's district. I first met him during the days of the convening of the National Black Political Convention in 1972, where he served as the chairman of the New York State delegation to one of the most amazing, historic, powerful gatherings of black people ever, the National Black Political Convention in Gary in 1972, serving along with the Honorable David Dinkins, the first African-American mayor of the city of New York. Dr. Waldover Stewart was born in the Canal Zone in Central America. That influenced him deeply because he, as I will indicate later, became really a staunch chairman, a staunch advocate, you know, for Afro-African descendants in the region. He also, in addition to being in the state senate, Dr. Stewart became an adjunct professor at Medgar Evers College, City University of New York, and, of course, the Caribbean Research Center. I think he was the chairman of the board there as well, working with Mr. George Irish for many, many, many years. In 1996, he co-founded with his beloved, powerful, powerful partner, Esmeralda Brown Stewart. He founded the Southern Diaspora Research and Development Coalition, whose mission was to empower African descendants throughout Central America. He also, it's not mentioned here in one of the obits that I looked at, founded another organization. I had an opportunity to meet with some of their leadership when I was in Costa Rica, COBA, the Council of Black Organizations, empowering again Black leadership. And he focused stubbornly, relentlessly on this task. This was his mission, to let the world know there were Black people in Central and South America, Black people who were marginalized, stigmatized by white supremacy, but could be empowered and would be empowered by his leadership and that of Esmeralda Brown, Dr. Waldover Stewart. And finally, for me, equally important, he was a charter member of a formation that many of you don't hear much about because it's by invitation only, the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. Among those who helped found it was Dr. Julius Garvey and others, Sadiq Y, others. And he was a steadfast member along with his wife and partner, Esmeralda Brown. And we should talk about the Afro-Latino, Afro-descended caucus along with Estela Vasquez, the now retired executive vice president of 1199 that hosts the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. They were staunch members. And he was the chair of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue's Task Force on Immigration Policy, wanting to make sure that it was immigration, yes, but it would be immigration that was rooted in non-discriminatory principles and make sure that people understood that, you know, there were some Black people who were immigrants as well. There were Black dreamers, and they warranted equal treatment within the formation of the immigration policy that was being debated and is still being debated in these United States. And so we just want to give a shout out, and you can too, those of you who knew our newest ancestor, Dr. Waldover Stewart. He will be funeralized on this coming January 13th at St. George's Episcopal Church in Brooklyn. Yes, you can email Southern Caucus 17 at gmail.com. Southern Caucus 17 at gmail.com in order to get further details on of the funeral service of this great man. All right, so we can have these tributes from these three giants. We'll welcome that. But let me just quickly talk about at least three issues that I'd like to have us discuss today on this open forum. And again, the number to call is, put out, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. I guess one of the overarching issues, you saw the President of the United States speak after on January 6th from Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C. He essentially said that the forces represented by Agent Orange, the orange man I call him, represent a dagger aimed at the heart of the Constitution and democracy. I want to talk about that. I want to hear your perspective on that. Because, quite frankly, I agree. I think that we are living in one of the most dangerous moments in the history of these United States of America. And that voting rights, the right to vote, is under assault. And that if voting rights is under assault, frankly, it is because there is a fear of the black vote. Fear of black folks marching on ballot boxes. And so they're trying to deter black people from voting all across this country. All kind of voter suppression laws are out there. And I believe that we must be at the cutting edge. Not to say black people in coalition, a rainbow coalition must essentially crush the MAGA madness, which really is about white minority rule. These people are attempting to establish white minority rule. And so legislation is required, but I don't really care if there's a legislation. I do care that legislation passed. It doesn't matter. We got to be ready for the revolution, as I talked about last week. We got to break through. Whatever barriers they put down, we are going to tear those barriers down. Break them up. We ain't going to be stopped from blocking white nationalism, white power, and white minority rule. So be interested in your comments and thoughts about that. Secondly, schools and the pandemics. Where do you stand? What is going on? Great debate. Are schools safe for children or not? I'd like to hear the perspectives of parents and teachers and people who are interested in this question. Interested in it, call us at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Should it be virtual or in person? What are the implications of virtual learning versus in-person learning as it relates to our children? What is your perspective on that? 212-209-2877. Raging debate. Let's talk about it here today on Vantage Point. In this open forum with the professor, 212-209-2877. And last but not least, another raging debate. The newly elected prosecutor, Alan Bragg, says, cut them loose. Low-level crimes, no people who commit low-level crimes, kind of harkens back to the squeegee men and the public urination and smoking marijuana and open bottle, them petty little laws and so forth. But, people say that if you start petty, you go big. Start one. That's that ladder thesis. Yeah, if you start one place, the next thing you know, you'll be full blown criminal. But he's saying, look, let's not we can do public service. Let's maybe a little fine. But no incarceration. Focus on the real crime. Really, the murder, rape, burglary, major larceny, the big crimes. That's what he is saying. Big pushback, however, from the current police commissioner. He says, I can't do this. And the police unions are going bananas. Now, Mayor Eric Adams is the law and order mayor, but he seems to be siding with Alan Bragg. How do you figure that out? What do you think? Give us a call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877, in order to talk about these issues, if you will. Again, let me just recap quickly. Tributes, if you will, if you want to call in and have a word about Sidney Poitier, a reflection, a tribute, please do so. The same thing with James Ntume, as well as Dr. Wald Dubba Stewart. 212-209-2877. The lines are wide open. You can get in. We got a lot of time to talk today. I want to hear your opinions, your ideas, if you will. Yes, Leonard Grenier. That's right. Leonard Grenier also passed. A lot of people may not know who Leonard Grenier was. He was a an advocate really around voting. And it's really significant that her name be mentioned, because she was talking about ways to make voting easier, and certainly appreciate the prompt and reminder on that. 212-209-2877. Let's see, do we have callers? Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi, it's Russ in Red Plains.
Yes.
Hi. I'd like to ask you two quick questions, Professor Daniels. One quick one about the COVID, and a second one about January 6th. Two things came out today. The CDC has said that of the 800,000 COVID deaths, 75% of them are with people who had four or more comorbidities. Do you wonder, of the remaining 25%, do you wonder how many died with three or fewer comorbidities? Are you wondering about that?
Well, I don't, you know, what I am concerned about.
Okay, well,
is
let
that
me ask
the
you
data,
a question about January 6th.
Hold on a second. Let me answer the question.
I'm sorry.
What I am concerned about is the data does show that the people who are dying most are the elderly, and elderly people who have comorbidities. Now, whether it's one, two, or three, or four, is I'm not quite sure what all of that really means, but we do know that the elderly are most vulnerable to the pandemic. And so that data has been released. It doesn't mean that other people cannot get it, and there are people who do get breakthrough cases. The one thing, the other piece of data that needs to be incorporated into the conversation are the long-haul effects. I know of people that have gotten it, and they're not over it. They're still struggling after months of having recovered from it, still struggling from it. So the concern I have is that at least irrespective of where people stand on vaccine, not vaccine, if we could just do a mask, if people would just mask up, particularly with the N95, at least that would be one of the ways of trying to master and to tame this pandemic, at least the spread of it in a way that is damaging. So that's kind of my perspective on that. And what was your second question?
Well, as long as we have masks, it's a signifier that this isn't over. So the second question is about January 6th. Another recent thing, just today, the FBI arrested an Antifa boy from Portland for possession of a live pipe bomb on January 6th at the Supreme Court. Now, I don't know why it took so long. I'm just wondering, maybe they were waiting until the one-year anniversary went by so it wouldn't screw up their narrative. But do you think this arrest sort of points to a COINTEL-type accelerated presence? Defeat the purpose. Can I just finish my sentence, Dr. Daniels? To defeat the purpose of seeking redress of grievance that day. Do you think that indicates some sort of COINTEL type?
Well, I don't know I think the COINTEL pro to me, and I'm being facetious here to some extent, is the utter Merrick Garland. He seems to be fumbling, mumbling, unwilling to go vigorously in terms of prosecution of those who have been called by the special committee on January 6th. He and even with the prosecutions, I guess he's being careful, and maybe that's good. But he does not seem to be his demeanor does not seem to match the danger of the moment. So to me, of course, there is been put out by the right wing echo chamber that this was really a lot of innocent people who got caught up with Antifa, these left wing radical revolutionaries who penetrated the demonstration and caused all the violence, carrying Confederate flags and so forth and so on, which I think is total mythology. Go ahead.
There were rainbow flags there, too. There were eight Trump supporters there also. But one quick
thing. Well, yeah, of course there were Trump supporters there. I mean, Trump supporters and the Confederate flag are synonymous.
LGBT rainbow flag guys were there, and women carrying rainbow flags, Dr. Daniels. But one thing about democracy, you know, the people in Suffolk County elected a Republican to replace that Democrat, Laura Curran, because he said he would not force children to wear masks. Do you think that's the death of democracy in Suffolk County?
Well, I don't know why. I think, unfortunately, the masking question has become weaponized and people are debating it pro and con. I don't know whether it represents the death of democracy or not. What I do want to do is find ways to tame this pandemic, to find ways ultimately to live with it, because I think at the end of the day, that's what it's going to come down to. but at least to have people, as I say, at a minimum, to mask up. All right, appreciate your call, my friend. Appreciate you kicking us off. 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Those of you who want to call with a tribute to Sidney Poitier may certainly do so, or James Juicy Fruit Ntoume, or the Honorable Waldo B. Stewart as well. A little lesser known, but there may be some people in the audience who knew him. I would welcome you calling to just share your reflections on him. And Lanny Guinier was mentioned as well. She passed away the other day. Didn't get quite the same attention. But Lanny Guinier, of course, was appointed by President Clinton, I think, to be in the Justice Department, but she was slammed because of her relatively modest record on civil rights. I mean, you know, I mean, this is like, it's really got crazy, crazy, crazy. A great advocate, however, for voting rights. In fact, this whole rank vote system that New York has adopted is something that she talked about long, many, many, many years ago. And so, Attorney General, she was being asked to serve for it. But, I said the Justice Department, Attorney General. She was turned back by conservative Republicans. She did not get the position. 212-209-2877. Is democracy in danger? I think so. The question is, I put it bluntly, Biden says, and, you know, he said, finally, mild-mannered Biden said that the orange man, Agent Orange, had a dagger, the MAGA forces, a dagger pointed at the heart of democracy and the Constitution, or the Constitution and democracy. He said, not a fact that he had welcomed, that he was looking for, but he would not stand for it. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that this is being taken as seriously as it needs to be taken. What I do know, or at least I think I know, is that black people better take it serious. That people of color need to take it seriously. People who represent the antithesis to the notion of America as a white man's patriotic land had better take it seriously. And in that regard, we better be ready to march on ballot boxes and use other tactics as well, nonviolent, but tactics as well, including economic sanctions, whatever is necessary to block and blunt the onslaught, the machinations of white minority rule, state by state by state. These people are setting up a mechanism that's already set in place through redistricting. You could have majority Democratic voters, doesn't matter. They've taken over the state legislatures. State legislatures there for also do the redistricting. They're carving the districts in a way that even if you have majority Democrats in a state like Wisconsin, the legislator is still controlled by Republicans. And not only, these are like some new kind of Republicans, like some crazy Republicans, crazier, if you will, unrecognizable in some ways, because they busted up into the Republican Party under the leadership of Agent Orange, the Orange Man. And it's like Mussolini light in terms of what they intend to do in this country. And we better wake up and be ready to deal with it. And, you know, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are blocking, you know, the vote, action on the voting rights, and people are upset with them. I don't think I am upset with them, too, but they're not the enemy. The enemy is not a single Republican, not one, has come forward to support the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And there's another Voting Rights Act as well. Not one. Not Mark Caskey, the so-called moderate from Alaska. Not Susan Collins, the so-called moderate from New Hampshire. Not one has come forward. They're lockstep, terrified by Agent Orange, but also because they want to impose these retrograde policies. They will not stand on the side of those who suffered, bled, and died on Bloody Sunday. The long history of black people being deprived and fighting desperately to get their hands on the ballot, but dying in America's wars as well, fighting for this democracy. And they have some theoretical reasons why. Well, we can't do a carve out of the filibuster because the filibuster, which is from a Jim Crow era and is an anachronism as well, can't find a rationale to do it. And so I think this is a danger. So give us a call, 212-209-2877. Open forum today. You can comment on that. Also dealing with the issue of schools. What should we do about schools? Raging debate. Taking up broadcast every day. Chicago, Lori Lightfoot saying the kids should come back to school. It's the safest place for them. Teachers union saying, we don't think so. Mayor Adams in New York saying, keep the kids in school. It's safer than being out on the streets, so to speak. So keep the kids in school. Maryland is saying the same. But there's a raging debate about it. Where do you stand? Parent, you're a parent out there. You're a teacher out there. Call us at 212-209-2877 and give us your opinion. 212-209-2877. And finally, what's going to happen if Alvin Bragg has his way? Prosecutor says we should not be focusing on these low-level crimes. Crimes that, by the way, fill up Rikers Island with people who, in some instances, stay there longer than they would have been there if, in fact, they were found guilty. In some instances, they're not found guilty. Some instances, they end up doing plea deals and plea bargains that create records for them. And these records then create problems with them in terms of their ability to make a life, a living for themselves. So it's an issue. So now people are saying that crime is on the rise. This whole issue of bail bond reform is like, you know, like a problem. Should not be in place and all of that. So where do you stand on that issue as well? Give us a call at 212-209-2877. We have open lines, opportunity for you to call and express yourself on these critical questions. 212-209-2877. Looking to hear from you as we await for your calls to come in. I got to believe there are people out there who would want to call on some of those issues. Again, tributes to Sidney Poitier, who was really a giant. And we really, really appreciate his life and legacy because he was willing to give of his life and service in order to actually advance the struggle for Black liberation, but also human rights for all human beings. Let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi there.
Speak up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so I just want to respond to Russ. I think that was his name. I don't know why Russ even brings up comorbidities. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We have a capitalist system with the haves and the have-nots. So how can we say that COVID is not killing people just because they had comorbidities? It makes no sense. So we know that America is not eating well. We know that America, many people in America can't get health care. There's no point in discussing comorbidities when we're collecting data on COVID. I mean, that is a joke. That's number one. Number two, because we have this disparity of income in this country, prior to COVID, New York City school system was rated as one of the most segregated school systems in the nation. So let's not forget that. So we had plenty of problems in the New York City public schools, which I attended my whole life, and I was a teacher in New York City public schools. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm using data. So to say that, you know, oh, we have a problem, we had tons of problems. And as you know, you've been reporting on your show how many people of color, specifically African Americans, are leaving the public school system and homeschooling their own children. The problem is, it's capitalism. We could have a fantastic education system right now that includes virtual, but you would have to hire the teachers to do virtual. teachers cannot teach from the classroom and teach to kids virtual at the same time. That cannot happen in a realistic and effective way. So we have the money, we just don't have the will. There are parents that want to keep their children home, but are told, no, you can only go virtual if you're in a quarantine situation. Well, that's ridiculous. We should allow virtual teaching. We should perfect it. And I just want to add, the data is really not in yet, but I will tell you from a teacher's perspective and talking to parents. Parents say some children did better in virtual. Children that have issues with bullying, children that have high anxiety issues, were doing fantastic in virtual. I spoke to the parents myself. So we cannot make blanket statements and say that virtual doesn't work. The way we're doing it is not really working. So let's talk about change and reform in education and then talk about virtual in that context. The last thing I'm going to say is this. If masks are not mandated in schools, I will quit that day. I am not going into a school with unvaccinated children not wearing masks. We have issues right now with our union in New Jersey, and the teachers are demanding that not only children are wearing the masks, but they must wear them properly. In my opinion, all children should be wearing N95s because we know that it protects them the best. Right. But unfortunately, we have a Democratic Party and a Republican Party that are more interested in getting reelected than actually creating policy. We don't even have a mask mandate for the entire nation. We don't even have vaccination mandates for people to fly
Let me ask you this question, because you just made a statement as if these two parties, and this is, I'm saying this because so are they equally the same?
No, they're not equally the
same.
Well,
I just wanted to get that out. I want to move on to the next caller, because if you compare for whatever the inadequacies, some of the, and there have been mixed messaging and stumbling and some things that need to be corrected. But at least one party has been trying to tackle the problem. The other party tried to deny it even exists and was telling people to take bleach.
100%. 100%. But let's not forget, COVID policy should have came before infrastructure. Trumpka, and I will say Mr. Trumpka, who was the head of the AFL-CIO, unfortunately died.
Yes.
And, Trumpka is a much more important name than Trump. And everybody needs to know that Trumpka has sued the United States government in March of 2020, demanding that COVID workplace laws, not guidelines, be created. And if we don't do that, then Trumpka has died in vain, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you much. Really appreciate it. One of the other things that this call exposes is we'd be a hell of a lot better if we had single payer. Without question, all of these different categories and all this stuff. It's better to have Obamacare than no care. I differ with some people on that. But we certainly would be a lot better if we had single payer universal coverage as a human right, period. And not all these conflicting I'm dealing with some issues right now. It's like I don't understand how some people even get around trying to figure out which plan, what it does cover, what it doesn't cover. All of this for-profit system should not exist. And hopefully one of these days we're going to be able to move it out of the way. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello?
Good afternoon. Please turn your radio down. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, I'm calling because I heard a lot of the topics you brought up. There's quite a few. My head was spinning, but I want to focus on one thing. Yes. I took care of my partner through her COVID experience, and I can only say that I didn't contract anything, and I never tested positive. And I am a contact tracer, and I tested two times a week while I was caring for her. And but what I did do, which I was doing from a child when I developed some kind of hay fever, I've always washed my nose. You know, my uncle showed me how to put a little salt in the water, and I always cleanse my nose. So during this whole process of past year and a half, I've been doing that every night. Anywhere I go, of course, I wear the mask and all that, and everywhere I go, you know, when I come home, I brush my teeth. It's all part of my routine. So I am saying no one's talking about cleanliness. They say wash your hands, wear a mask, but flush your nasal passages. Whatever enters in, I even harken back to high school in woodshop. They used to give us masks when we do, you know, things with the wood. And, you know, our teacher would have like a lavage type device there that we could use in case some dust was in our nostrils. I think someone should talk about that. No one's even mentioned it. I mentioned it to the doctor.
I see commercials. I do see commercials where they have these pumps.
Sir, but the commercials, yeah, the commercials is one thing, but no one in the, like someone like yourself.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just validating that I have seen something out there that talks about cleaning out your nostrils.
Yeah. Yes, I know, but the point I wanted to make is that in the public, you know, as far as the public health, no one's talking about cleaning your nose.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I think you're right. I think you've hit on a good point that in addition to washing your hands, it's you know, there are other areas, there is other emphasis on cleanliness that would make sense.
Well, look, here's the thing. If they say that it goes in your nose and you can lose taste and sense of smell, that's obvious that something's affecting the sinus cavity. The sinus cavity is not clean. Some people have never cleansed their nose. So I can only imagine what's in there. So I just don't understand that. That's one topic. You put so many out.
I know, but you don't have to speak on all of them. Just speak on one more.
No,
so we can get the rest of our
calls. The last one I want to talk about is I'm in New York, and we had a tremendous fire here that had a lot of loss of life. You didn't mention that one. That was, and
I did. I started at the top of the program talking about the fire.
You did? Okay. Well, I was on the air with Utrice on another station, and I mentioned that I live in that neighborhood, and you know, those buildings don't have firewalls. And so the apartments are separated by two layers of sheetrock, wonderboard, and then you're in the next apartment. So if I'm in B and you're in line A, I could take a circulus drill and drill right through your wall, and it'll pop out into your apartment. So that's why that fire, in my opinion, spread so fast and thoroughly, completely the way it did. Well, in my building is the same thing. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, and good work, and thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll soon know. I'm sure they're going to do an investigation, but we do know that these buildings, you know, have not been kept in many instances and up to standard, and it's really a problem. And it's particularly true when you're talking about poor and working people, though in Florida, it was even people who were relatively affluent were affected by the poor building standards, which also speaks to the earlier caller's penchant for capitalist behavior, if you will. 212-209-2877. Others can call as well. Tributes to Poitier and Toomey, Dr. Walter Stewart are certainly in order. We're also talking about the dangers of democracy. We're talking about debates about schools to keep them open or go virtual, or maybe it's really not either or. And certainly your attitude and posture towards the issue of the new prosecutor who is saying that many of these low-level folk who commit lesser crimes should not end up in jail at all, but there should be alternatives to incarceration. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello, Dr. Daniels.
Hello.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And a recognition and a remembrance for all the ancestors who are no longer with us, whether their name rang bells or not. My name is Erebos. I live in West Harlem. I'm an advocate for the People's Party of New York and national. And I wanted to say something about January 6th. None of the people, none of the fellow activists and other people that I deal with in this state and, you know, on Twitter and around the country, nobody, you know, they don't, including myself, we're not bothered, you know, personally by January 6th, because we saw the videos that are still around, that the whole world saw, that the Capitol Police opened the barricades and let that, you know, savage mob up the steps. We saw the videos of them opening the left service entrance door of the Capitol and allowing people in and taking selfies with those people.
Hold on 1 second there. 1 second. When you say them, you saw some Capitol Police officers out of the hundreds. There's been identified a handful that seem to have been sympathetic with the insurrectionists. So let's not, I don't want to put a broad brush over all of these folks, some of whom lost their lives, were beaten like hell with flags and bear spray and so forth and so on. I just want to make that
That is true. The generalization point that you remark is true, but it was more than a handful, right? There were officers in there giving them tours, buying them lunch. They were hanging out in there. Many of them, most of them were allowed to leave. They were there for hours. Right. So, and, you know, where was the alphabet soup? Where was the FBI and the National Guard and all those people who were all over the streets in 2020 for the Black Lives Matter protests? So, you know, they stood down and they allowed this to happen. Yes, the loss of life is tragic, but any serious coup in history or even in the modern time, a coup is defined as having military support. You can't have it's impossible to have a coup, a proper coup, without military support, right? So there was no military support. It was an inside thing of them allowing it to happen, and then what happened. It was a catastrophe, but when you want to talk about white supremacists, Joe Biden is a white supremacist. Joe Biden said he didn't want his kids to go to school in a racial jungle. Like when Charlemagne the God said, hey, what are you going to do for us in a material way so people don't vote for Trump? He said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, right? Joe Biden was personal friends with John Eastland, James Eastland.
My friend, come on. I mean, this is, you're dealing at levels. You're dealing with
Joe
levels
Biden
of... Excuse me. I let you go on and on and on. First of all, what is your final point before I go to my next caller? What point are you making?
That none of the people I deal with, people who send their kids to school so they could have a hot meal and wash their clothes, none of the people that I deal with, real people in the streets who are not comfortable liberals, but real people, they don't care about January 6th. They want their $2,000 checks. They want their Medicare for all. They want student loan forgiveness. All the things.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. And so white supremacists.
Nobody cares about January 6th.
Yeah, I got you. So let me So let me just say in closing, white supremacist Joe Biden helped to by majority vote through reconciliation. You know, pushed out a hell of a lot of checks in the first instance, and then with the bipartisan bill, pushed out a hell of a lot more checks, and is trying to push out some more checks with the reconciliation bill. So I guess that warrants some conversation. But anyway, I get your point. Let's move right ahead. We got some other callers on the line. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
How are you? Good show.
You're on air.
All right. How are you? That teacher was very misinformed, I guess you could say, or something. He's very annoying as well. For her to make demands to her job with our kids, because of her supposed safety and all of this, you're worried about a democracy. When one person out of 100 may die from this, it's far less than that. But when they can say that one person that's scared or a handful of people that are frightened from their lives because they're overweight, they're old, they buy into the propaganda that everybody's going to die. I just saw kids walking down the street with masks on. That you're losing your democracy right in that by telling us that these masks that anybody in their right mind knows doesn't work. You can't stop a flu, people. You can't. That's why they made this flu. And they're feeding off of your fear and your propaganda.
You say that's why they made the flu. They made the flu for what reason, my friend? They made the flu to do what?
Billions or hundreds of billions of dollars Bill Gates is making off of this. Fauci is making off of this. Don't be silly. $50 for two tests. And you have to take
I agree. The test ought to be free. The test ought to be free, but what difference does it matter? What difference if it makes if you don't believe that there's a pandemic in the first place? Who cares about a test? The test is irrelevant. The vaccines are irrelevant if there is no issue. And if people are willing, as you say, we're soon going to hit a crest of almost a million people that somebody has been willing to sacrifice in order to make profit, by the way, a million people who are consumers who could have helped support the bottom line. It doesn't add up to me. But anyway, I appreciate your call anyway. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Ron, please give me a call when you get off the air. I want to ask you a question. I'd like to say my hat's off to the attorney, Braggs. I can see Bruce Wright in him. And as far
tell
as...
Tell people who Bruce Wright was. Come on. Tell people quickly who Bruce Wright was.
I can see Bruce Wright. Let him go, Bruce.
That's right. And, let him loose, Bruce.
Educate. And why we go after the hard criminals.
All do right. Okay.
Am I making sense?
You're making... Well, I think that the other approach is, frankly, a Giuliani, the so-called... quality of life policing, where you end up rounding up people doing petty crime in order to avoid more serious crime, which proved to be a failed strategy. So this idea is, let's really go, as you said before, after people who are the hardcore criminals, those who are doing major offenses. That doesn't mean that you're condoning the behavior, but there are ways in which you can deal with that with alternatives to incarceration. Look, I've run out of time. All right, brothers and sisters and friends, we got a few callers in. I thought we might have gotten a few more, but that's okay. Next week, we're going to have a special on Martin Luther King Day, January 17th, assembling a tremendous team. We'll talk about what would King have thought? What would King be doing? I'm going to see, can I assemble a Ready for the Revolution pack? Yeah, we got to be ready for the revolution, I think. And that is the word that Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, used to say, are you ready for the revolution? That was his kind of way of greeting you, ready for the revolution. And so I want to see, can we get something, to, a book, maybe Black Power or something with Kwame Ture in it, something with Martin Luther King in it, something with Fannie Lou Hamer in it, and something with Dick Gregory in it, and see, can we offer our audience a, it's going to be a fundraiser, a special program on this coming Monday, a week from now. I'm going to assemble a hell of a panel, some of who will be on from the sister stations from L.A. as well as WPFW in Washington, D.C. They just happen to be folks that I hang out with, and they also happen to have shows. And so I'm sure they're willing to come on with me and help me promote and push to see where we can raise some serious dollars to keep this conversation going, keep WBAI not only alive but thriving, this citadel, this fortress for transformation, for defense and transformation. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels. The show is Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM, WBI Pacifica Network, in collaboration with YCRadio.org. We'll see you again here next week.